Well, you know, 2 weeks ago, we started a new series. The Lord put something in my heart. I was pretty excited about this, called Breaking Barriers. If you haven't received the CDs from those, please pick those up afterwards. There's a stack of them out on the table out there. And just to kind of catch up to date, because there's some really, really important things that we're covering here. The first week, we talked about what is a barrier. Last week, we talked about identifying your barriers. And then today, we're going to talk about how barriers are formed in a person's life, how barriers are formed. Let's talk about this just for a minute here, because the word barrier out of the Webster's Dictionary means this. It means anything that restrains or obstructs progress or access. The second definition is a limit or a boundary of any kind. A limit or boundary of any kind. You know, God wants to lift the limits from your life. Amen? And it's really important that we understand that through Christ and through the gospel, through the Word of God, as we come to see today that there are barriers that we've all had in our lives that God wants to lift. Now, again, the word barrier means anything that restrains or obstructs progress, a limit or boundary of any kind, limitations. All right? Now, we began to see some things, and I'll just mention this because of time. We're not going to go into this, but we talked about some modern-day barrier breakers. Amen? We talked about Henry Ford. Just kind of mention these guys. Thomas Edison, George Washington Carver, Alexander Graham Bell, Abraham Lincoln, Neil Armstrong, the Wright brothers, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Tiger Woods, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth. These are just a few people that came to my mind. Some are in the sports realms, and the others are inventions and things that are blessing us here today. These were modern-day barrier breakers that changed the course of not only their lives, but the world that we live in now. Amen? In the Bible, we see people like Noah, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, David, Samson, the disciples, Jesus, just to name a few, Peter. These were biblical barrier breakers that did things that common folks couldn't do. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I've always had a desire in my heart from an early age to not just be common, to be like everybody else, kind of blend in like a wallflower with everybody else. I wanted to stand out, not in a bad way, but I wanted to be able to go places most people don't go. I wanted to be able to do things that most people don't do. Because I found out that once you become a Christian, you're not just getting your sins forgiven, just a clean slate, which it is, but God Himself provides within you the person of the Holy Spirit. He places His Spirit on the inside of you. Now, you can't look in there and say, okay, I see Him there, you know, because the Bible says He, Christ, dwells in us by faith. So when you become a Christian, who moves on the inside of you? It's not a trick question. God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, comes to live on the inside of you. So that means you're not alone ever. You're never alone. You're never without a comforter. The comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, lives and abides on the inside of you, and He is there to stay. He's not going to come and go. You know, one of the most unscriptural prayers that a person can ever pray, and I know it sounds humble and everything, but stop thinking about this. People say, God, we're just asking You to be with us today. You know, I've been in church services where people pray that, Lord, just be with us today. And God's like saying, excuse me, when did I ever leave you? Because Hebrews 13 says that God, Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Never. No, ever. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, here's where we come. Here's where sometimes people miss it. Is they're waiting on a certain feeling to believe that. In other words, some special goosebump or something, you know, that like, wow, did you feel that? You know, like God's there. But here's the truth about the matter. Feelings can come and feelings may go. Remember that song back in the 70s called Feelings? Remember that song? Well, there's a lot of Christians still singing that song because they're governed by their feelings. Okay? I used to be one of them. Okay? And, man, I'm telling you what, if anybody was governed by feelings, it was this boy right here. Amen? But I began to realize some things through the years as the Lord began to teach me. He said, Keith, whether you feel me or not, I am there. So wherever you go in this life, whatever you're encountering, whatever you're dealing with, you're not in this thing alone. I mean, you got the God of the universe living on the inside of you. Amen. Man, that's a tremendous thing, isn't it? Say, I'm not alone. Now, back in the early 80s, I was going to Bible college, and the movie E.T. came out. Remember that? You know? And the caption for that movie was, "You are not alone." Talk about aliens, you know what I'm saying? Well, I got good news for it today. You are not alone. And I'm not talking about some outer space creature. I'm talking about God Himself living on the inside of you. I'm telling you, if you woke up in the morning and you began to just say out loud to yourself, you know, most of you talk to yourself anyway. Okay? Now, where'd I put that thing? You know, excuse me? I know where that, you know, you're talking to yourself, so you might as well say some good things to yourself. Okay? But if you wake up in the morning and say, God lives on the inside of me today. Everywhere I go, God goes with me. I can't lose for winning because God lives on the inside of me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And you begin to say that over and over again. And I'm telling you what, you're driving to work. You're ready to go into a hostile environment. But you're saying this in yourself. Jesus lives inside me. God lives on the inside of me. So when I walk into that atmosphere, it's changing. I've proved this thing out. I'm telling you, I've proved this thing out time and time again. And you walk into a different type of environment. I know for about 10 years, I drove a school bus for a school district, you know, when we were started the church. And just to help us a little bit, you know. And I'm telling you what, you talk about a secular atmosphere, you know. That was it. You know what I'm saying? But I proved it over and over again because I could walk into an environment like that. Now, you know, how many of you know that there's some bugs that are attracted to light and others run from the light? Did you ever notice that? And there's some people that literally will run from the light because they feel convicted. You know, when you're living for God, you know. And sometimes you don't have to say a word. You just walk into the atmosphere and your presence convicts them. And I found that to be true sometimes. There were some people that were so ticked off at me, and I never did anything to them. You know? Never did anything to them where I was working. But I began to realize, no, it's not you, Brother Keith. Don't take it personally. This is, they're convicted by what you rep. They knew that I was a pastor, okay? You know, I didn't go around announcing it, you know? But you know how word gets out sometimes. Amen? I remember way, way back when I was engaged to Lynn. We got married in 1982. And between my first and second year of Bible school, I came back and I was working for our community that we lived in, for the township actually, and I would basically cut grass for the parks that were in with area that I lived in. And there was a guy that the first day on the job, he found out I was going to Bible school, you know, and he would call me everything you can imagine. I mean, I wouldn't even repeat some of this stuff, you know. And he was the head foreman, so to speak, okay? So I was underneath this guy, and I thought, this is going to be a long summer, you know. But the Lord kind of put it in my heart, don't say anything to them, because they found out I was in the Bible school. I didn't say anything. I didn't quote scripture to them. I didn't try to witness to them. He said, just live right before them, okay? And that's what he put inside my heart. So day in, day out, I would just do my job, do what I had to do. Well, this guy was the most outrageous, the foreman. He was the one that was just antagonistic, critical, you know, especially of anybody that was a Christian of any kind. Well, the very last day, this so surprised me. The last day of the summer, I was about to get married, you know, and go back to Bible school for my second year. And this foreman, he's probably about eight years older than I am. And he pulls me aside. He says, Keith, come here. And I thought I was in trouble. It's amazing how your mind always thinks you're in trouble. If you get a phone call, I'm in trouble. We shouldn't think that all the time. Amen. We're always thinking the negative, the worst, right? And he says, come on over here, I want to talk to you. So he pulls me away from all the guys, and we're digging ditches, folks, okay? So we're all sweaty and nasty and everything, you know. And, you know, I had one of these big, those jackhammer things, you know, that we're digging up a road with, you know. So he pulls me aside here, my last day of work. And he says, I want you to know something. I've been watching you. And I'm thinking, where's he going to go with this? He says, I've been watching you. I said, okay. And I'm thinking I'm in trouble, you know. He goes, you know, you're the real deal. And I still don't know what he was talking about. He goes, you know, I've been thinking, now here's one I got a little glimpse of. He says, I've been thinking about becoming a Christian. He goes, I've watched you. He goes, you're the real deal. And I'm thinking, I didn't do anything. All I did was just be myself. You know what I mean? He goes, I got these friends of mine that have been getting on my back about coming to their Bible study. He goes, I think I'm going to do that. You know, he goes, and he shook my hand and congratulated me. And I tell you what, I almost lost it right there after that. I mean, because I realized, you mean to tell me he was actually watching me, you know? And see, the Bible says that we're witnesses in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he says, you will be my witnesses. He didn't say you'll go witnessing. You know, you're a witness whether you're witnessing or not. Because your lifestyle, the way you live and the way you treat people, the way you act, you know, is as a witness. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's an old Chinese proverb that says, what you are speaks so loud I can't hear what you're saying. So the way we act, the way we treat people, I mean, that's a big deal, isn't it? So it just kind of woke me up a little bit and realized that people really are watching. People in this world are, they're saying, will the real Jesus please stand up? They're looking for people that just have genuine hearts. Amen? Well, I think the Lord's found a bunch right here. I mean that sincerely. I'm not just saying that by faith. I'm saying it because it's the truth. How many of you know none of us are perfect? Okay? Pat, the very fact that you humbled yourself and you said, I apologize for this, that speaks volumes. Okay? It's not the fact, because we all miss it. We all make mistakes. But when you humble, you acknowledge when you miss it and you humble yourself, that speaks volumes to that person. And you mark my words. Amen? There's not a person in here that hasn't missed it. And usually when you flesh out, there's going to be someone there to see it or someone there to hear it. Moving right along here. Now, again, we're talking about breaking barriers in your life, things that hold you down, things that limit you, boundaries and so forth, all right? And I listed all these, I mentioned these guys, these modern-day people that we're talking about the last 100 years, and then some of these Bible characters. And I found this to be true, that what was common to these people, what was the first thing that was common to all of these people that I mentioned, that was their ability to think and dream beyond their present circumstances. Their ability to think and dream beyond their present circumstances. I made mention of the fact that the Wright brothers were out behind their father's church. True story. He's in there preaching a sermon telling the people that if God intended for man to fly, he would have put wings on them. While his two sons are out behind the church inventing what they thought an aircraft for man to fly. Amen. So the guy's in there preaching behind the pulpit, just kind of downplaying it and so forth, you know. But aren't you glad that they did not allow the critics, even in their own family, to stop them from dreaming? Amen. Don't ever let someone squelch the dream and the desire that God's placed on the inside of your heart. Are you with me now? Thank you, Father. It's okay to dream and think. God's given you an imagination to think big and to think beyond your present circumstances and to come out of the box, so to speak, and to think bigger. The Bible says, now unto him who's able to do abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Amen. I found this to be true, that when you're when you begin to dream and think and imagine the things that God's taken you, the things that you desire in your life, it's a whole lot harder to get depressed. Because what you're doing is when you're focused just on the immediate, okay? I'll give you an example. When you're driving down the road at 55 miles an hour, you're not looking at the front of your hood. What are you doing? You're looking out beyond your present location. Are you with me? And you might be looking a mile down the road, a mile and a half down the road, and you're looking ahead. You're not there yet, but you're going there. That's what vision is you're looking to the place that eventually you're going to go. There are things in my life that years ago, I was looking down the road, but then I finally got there in some situations. Okay? There's other stuff that's in my future that I'm looking at, and I'm going to that place. Amen? See, the Bible says the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn. It gets brighter and brighter to a more perfect day. See, God has great plans for every one of you in this room. He has no mediocre plans for you. Amen. God is not ordinary. He's extraordinary. Amen. And it seems to me that as I read my Bible, and you too, you got the same Bible, that God will tell people to do things that's beyond their natural ability. God will tell people to do things that they can't do within themselves. Because of one thing, the God factor. We have to remember, Moses couldn't do anything. That stick was just something that God used. But let me tell you something, without the God factor, they're going to be killed by the Egyptians in the wilderness. But when you consider the God factor with everything in your life, you know, no matter what the odds are saying, what the circumstances are saying, when you consider the God factor in every circumstance of your life, your physical body, I don't care if medical science has said there's no cure for this. Amen? How many of you here got healed supernaturally? Raise your hand. Okay, it's a lot of people got healed supernaturally. In some cases, incurable, according to medical science. Well, that's what they say. But what does God say? Are you with me now? Amen. What was the thing that was common to all these men was their ability to think and dream beyond their present circumstances. Now, let's talk today about how, you know, barriers are formed in our lives. Barriers, okay? Limitations are formed in our lives. There's a few things. I want to talk about one of those today. If you have your Bibles, go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. You know, it's probably back where all the pages are stuck together. But we have it up on the wall here. So this scripture is a pretty familiar scripture that you hear quoted frequently. But notice it says in Hosea 4 and verse 6, Hosea 4, 6. You know, Hosea wasn't from Mexico. But he says in Hosea 4, 6, my people are destroyed for lack of what? My people. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. We'll stop right there. Now, the first thing that can become a barrier, how barriers are formed in your life is, number one, is through simple lack of knowledge. Just not knowing. And lack of knowledge of the Word of God on any given subject can hurt you at any time. And in fact, all of us at some point in our lives, when we have lack of knowledge of how to appropriate, there was a time, for example, in my life, that every single time springtime would come along, you know, this time of the year, maybe a little bit after this, things would start to blossom. Well, here comes the allergies. And I love springtime. You know what I'm saying? That's my favorite time of the year. But my eyes would get so itchy and so irritated and so red that sometimes it was hard to even see. An itch that couldn't be stopped. Okay? I don't know if you've ever had that before. And for a number of years, this would happen to me every single spring. I would just endure it. The only way I could get some relief is go stand in the shower and open my eyes and let water hit my eyes. That's just a temporary relief, you know what I'm saying? And you get back out. Here it comes again. And I'm telling you, for year after year after year after year, this thing went on in my young teenage years. And but something happened in 1980 as I heard some knowledge from a minister on the radio, R.W. Shambach, that talked about how that God has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and under that curse is sickness and disease. And he started preaching. I mean, not teaching, but preaching on healing and scriptures and quoted scriptures. And I'm driving down I-70 on the interstate at New Stanton. And I heard this 15-minute broadcast. Patty, you used to listen to him, Brother Shambaugh. He's in heaven now. Just last year, he went home to be with Jesus. But knowledge was coming through that radio in that Ford truck, that pickup truck that I was driving from that company. I was delivering parts for mines in the tri-state area. So I did a lot of driving. So I had a lot of time to listen. All we had in that little truck was an AM radio. Back in those days, they had Christian stations that would have 15-minute preachers get on there. You know, now they weren't all great or anything, but there were some that were really good. And Brother R.W. Shambaugh would get on there and preach about the power of God. And so what happened was knowledge was coming through that radio. And I chose, see, I had a choice to believe that word that he was saying. And, you know, sometimes it's those tough stains that need to be shouted out. You know what I'm saying? Well, he was preaching, I'm telling you what. And I began to realize that here I am, I've been suffering every spring with these allergies like this. Now, some of you heard me say this before. I'll say it again. I got fed up in that cab of that truck. I just got mad. I wasn't mad at anybody. I wasn't mad at any person. I was mad at the devil. Because I through lack of knowledge, I was suffering this when I didn't have to suffer this. You say, well, Brother Keith, doesn't the Bible say that Christians are to suffer? Well, there's a right kind of suffering and there's a wrong kind of suffering. Now, the Bible says that those that will live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer some persecution here and there. That'll happen. If you're living for God, you know, there's going to be times people are not going to like that. Now, if for some reason you have this desire to get along with everybody everywhere, you're going to miss it somewhere. You're going to compromise. When you live for God, sometimes people aren't going to like that. That's okay. We can live with that. Amen? But there's a suffering of persecution we're not exempt from, okay? That people will talk about you sometimes, and that happens, all right? But there's another side of suffering that you and I need not bear, and that's sickness and disease. Are you with me? Because what Christ bore, we need not bear. Okay, then why, Brother Keith, I can hear your brain ticking sometimes. Then why was so-and-so sick? She was a good Christian and everything, and da-da-da-da-da. And maybe she even died, you know, and she was a Christian, loved God, served God. Well, let me tell you something. Lack of knowledge can kill a Christian. Are you with me? Amen? I mean, if I drive down the road at 100 miles an hour, and I'm praying for God to protect me, something could happen. Amen? Now, all of you here in this room, at some point, you've broken some barriers. How many of you went beyond the speed limit before? Amen. Coming to church even, huh? Hallelujah. But here's the point I want to make is this. Lack of knowledge. The Bible says, my people, God says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Well, part of the vision that we have for Covenant Family Church is to feed you with wisdom and with knowledge of God's Word. Amen. Where the anointing of the Word is coming across like it is today. So that you can grab hold of that and say, okay, I've suffered in this area before. I'm not going to suffer there again. Amen. And a righteous indignation rose up on the inside of me. And I said, man, I've been putting up with this and I didn't have to. I was suffering needlessly. So what happened? Right in the cab of that truck, I yelled out loud. I'm not going to do it here because I'd scare you. But the only person that hurt me was God and the devil. Amen. And I said, Satan, you take your hands off me right now. I command this allergy, these symptoms, these lying symptoms. Jonah called them lying vanities. Jonah in the belly of the whale called it lying vanities. He's in the belly of the whale. Slime, dark, cold, nasty. And he called it a lying vanity because he knew where he was going. He's coming out. Amen? And the symptoms and the things that come against your physical body are nothing more than lying symptoms from the enemy to get you to try to swallow that. Well, I spoke out loud. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command these allergies to go in Jesus' name. And God is my witness. Within 60 seconds, every one of those symptoms left me. Just gone. All right? I'm 21 years old. So don't tell me a 21-year-old can't get a hold of the Word of God. Okay? Well, I'm 52 now. I'm going to be 53 at the end of the month. Amen? So that's a few years ago. Amen? But the Word of God inside your life, inside your heart, will cause Satan and demons and circumstances to line up. In every circumstance of life, we have to ask ourselves, what does the Word of God say about this? No matter what you face in this life, this will answer so many questions that we all have. If we ask ourselves in every test of life, every area of life, what does the Bible say about this? Do you think God will show you? Huh? I mean, if you're really sincere and honest, you think God will show you? Absolutely. What does God say about this? Praise God. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9. Now remember, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So lack of knowledge is an enemy, isn't it? But how many of you know today you're getting some knowledge? Amen. Now you may not know where the books of the Bible are located, front or back. That doesn't matter. That'll come eventually. What matters today is you're getting some knowledge and you're getting some wisdom from God's Word that's going to help you in your present circumstances. Praise God. Notice this. Proverbs 11:9 says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. But notice this. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Say, through knowledge. Okay. How important is knowledge of God's Word? Amen? Knowledge of God's Word is the most important piece of information that you'll ever have in this life. Now, granted, there's education and get all you can. Amen? In the natural. But the most important education that you can have is what does the Word of God say? To be educated in the Word of God. That's why we have church too. Amen? That's one of the reasons for fellowship. But for the Word of God, for the knowledge of God's Word. Unless, of course, you come and you're just not paying attention at all. You're just showing up just to punch a time clock. Amen. But I don't believe there's anybody here like that. You're coming because you want some knowledge of God's Word that's going to change your life, change your circumstances. And see, that's the best counsel that we can give anybody. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, it says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, the word of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree which is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in his season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. Hallelujah. So there's the counsel of the ungodly, and there's the counsel of the godly. Hallelujah. And the only way that I can really give you long-lasting help is to give you counsel from God's Word. But you know, there are some Christians, bless their hearts, that actually despise godly wisdom. They despise godly counsel. When people do that, they only prolong their problem. Okay? See, we're not looking for, around here, we're not looking for a quick fix. Amen? You know, it's kind of like this. You know, you got these fast-growing trees, but then you have hardwoods. You have like an oak tree. But you got like pine and things like this. Nice tree, but it grows real fast. Okay? There's some trees like that that grow real fast. And they say, look at me. But an oak tree. Someone says, you know, what's an oak tree? Just a nut that held its ground. A little acorn. You ever pick up a little acorn, look at that thing, and say, there's an oak tree inside this thing right here that towers up in the air. And there's some places around our house, walking trails that we walk on, and there are trees that have been there. Someone was told us, this one, the American beech tree, it's been there for like 500 years. I thought, holy moly, 500 years. It's a hardwood tree. Amen. In the spiritual realm, God wants you to be like a hardwood. Amen. Now, it may take you a little time to get there, but let me tell you something. You will last, and you will last, and you will last, and you will last. Amen. Instead of some just quick fix solution, you know, just lay hands on me. Everything will be all right. And then I never see you in church for 5 months. No. That's just a quick fix. That's a short spurt. That's not going to change it. But it's staying plugged into God, plugged into the Word of God, that's what's going to produce lasting results. Amen? See, even in a church situation like this, I would rather grow a church steady, slow, steady, instead of real quick, rapid growth, and then you don't know what to do with it. Okay? We have to be able to grow as a congregation to receive more people and to see things grow and be prepared and have responsibility delegated to help reach 100 more people or 200 more people. We have to be ready for that, don't we? If 300 people came next week, we wouldn't be ready for them, would we? But see, there's a process. And we shouldn't ignore that, and we shouldn't look down on that. The Scripture says, do not despise the day of small beginnings, because it's not going to stay that way forever. And we look around and we see how many people are here right now, but it's not going to be that way forever. I'm telling you that right now. There's a lot of men and women that God wants to touch, that God wants to minister to, that God wants to help. Oh, I feel that in my heart. Amen? But we have to be prepared for that. That's one of the reasons for our membership class, to prepare people. Hallelujah. So, it says in Proverbs 11:19, it says, through knowledge the just shall be delivered. Amen? Now, when you become a barrier breaker in your life, and we saw this last week, we looked into this situation with David and Goliath, and I'm not going to go into detail with that, but you remember how David came and all the Israelites were totally terrified of Goliath. Remember that? He would come out every day for 40 days and taunt and ridicule and curse the God of Israel in front of the Israelites. And the Bible says they all trembled. All of Israel trembled. Fear. King Saul trembled. However, David showed up from watching his father's sheep on the backside of the desert one day, and he heard the same thing. He heard what they heard. But he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Amen? They thought he was just trying to act cool. You know what I'm saying? His brothers were ridiculing him. He said, what are you doing over here? Well, to make a long story short, David went out there and fought the Goliath with a little slingshot. Killed the 9.5-foot giant. Killed him by the power of God. He broke some barriers. Are you with me? He broke some heads too. He broke some barriers. But guess what happened? All the Israelites had a surge of courage that swept through Israel. And they jumped up with one voice. They said, let's get them. Let's chase the Philistines. And the Bible says they discomfited the Philistines, whatever that means. I mean, they hightailed them out of there. Amen. But see, here's the point I want to make is this, that when you become a barrier breaker and you don't become, see, all Israel, the norm was like when Goliath speaks, everybody trembles, everybody shakes, you know. And Goliath is a type of the devil. He tries to intimidate you. He stands up and speaks things to you that say you'll never get your healing. You'll never have a mate. You'll never have this. You'll never have that. And he's always trying to intimidate you with fear. But David stood up to it. Hallelujah. And he became a barrier breaker. And when he did, and it wasn't him that did it alone, God helped him do that. With me? All of Israel decided, hey, I can be a barrier breaker too. Amen? Just a few days ago, I went skiing with my son, you know, and we went with some friends of ours, some neighbor, old neighbor friends of ours, and two of the people were, the one guy, unless this was only his second time skiing, you know, and the other younger kid, he had skied for a while, but he wouldn't touch Black Diamond Hills. You know what Black Diamond is? The real steep hills. And Josh, you know, he pretty much laughs at Black Diamonds. He'll go straight down to Black Diamond, not even think twice about it, you know. And so we're skiing with these guys, you know, and they're like, we won't touch Black Diamonds. Well, not even halfway through that session, they're going down Black Diamond Hills. And I'm looking at, is that really them? I was watching. I couldn't believe it was them. You know, now we weren't even thinking this, but you know, Josh wasn't even thinking this. And I thought afterwards, because I'm teaching on this, he broke some barriers that they, if he can do it, they can do it. Amen. Are you with me now? Amen. And before you know it, we're having a great time flying down Black Diamond Hills. Amen. Just having a great time. But some fear, the one son said, I'll never get down a Black Diamond Hill. All of a sudden, he's going down like it's nothing. Amen. So someone has to pave the way, right? Someone has to say, we can do this. We can do this. Now, this preacher here will never stand up and say, you can't do this, you can't do that. I'm going to say, you can do all things through Christ. You can go as high as you want to go. You can go as far as you want to go in this life. Listen, regardless of your age. Amen. Are you with me now? See, Moses wasn't looking for a rocking chair when he was, or Joshua was not looking for a rocking chair when he was 80, 85. He said, give me this mountain. He wasn't saying, give me that nursing home. See, youthfulness is a state of mind. The way you think. Okay? I refuse to think old. Just not going to think like that. I'm just not going to think like that. Oh, about 10 years ago, I came across a guy I graduated from high school with. Saw him in Panera Bread. I went in there. His name was Pat. And I actually had the privilege to lead him to the Lord when I was in high school. So I hadn't seen him in years, you know, and so we caught up, and he saw me, and I saw him. You know, we got to begin to talk and catch up, you know, the last 15 years of in a couple of minutes. You know how that is. And I'm like, well, how you doing, Pat? You know, he goes, well, you know, and I'm 52. This is when I was about 42. He says, well, you know how it is when we get our age. Can't do certain things. And I'm thinking, am I hearing him say this, you know? He said, yeah, as soon as I turned 40, things started going. Things stopped working in my body, and this started. And I'm thinking, oh, man. Now, the Lord didn't give me the door to say anything about that because I knew he wasn't open to that. But in myself, I'm saying, no. I'm not going to think like that. But see, these are lies that people believe all the time. Christian folks believe this. You know, when you turn this age, then this part breaks. Like a car or something. Are you with me?
Amen.
We have to, no matter what age we're at, we need to think young.
Amen.
We need to think, I can do this.
Amen.
Okay? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have to think differently. Amen? There are people that believe that they will not live beyond 80 years old. There are people that believe that. And you know what? According to your faith, be it unto you. I'm not trying to be mean or hard-hearted this morning or anything, but there are people that believe that once I hit 80, that's it. Who said? Who said? Or 70 or 60. Or 90. The Bible says you can go till you're satisfied. Well, brother, it's easy for you to say that you're 52 years old. You know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I know guys at my age that are my age that don't do half the things that I can do. Okay? Now, I'm not standing up here bragging on myself. I just believe the God in me. Did I miss something? That He renews. Psalm 103 says He renews our youth like the eagles.
Amen.
He renews our youth like the eagles. Okay? See, we're not talking extreme preaching here. We're talking the Word of God. It says He renews our youth like the eagles. So why not say that? He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen, there are guys in their 70s, yea, even 80, that run marathons.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Brother Tom? There are people in their 70s and 80s that run marathons. You know, 26 point whatever miles. Some people can't even drive that far. So don't tell me that youth isn't a mindset. Okay, we have to start thinking younger. Instead of retiring, we should be refiring. Man, this was not on my notes this morning, but that's okay. Now let's close with this over to Numbers, because we're out of time here, but Numbers chapter 13. And we're talking about how are barriers formed? First of all, through lack of knowledge. And this is what we're going to conclude with today. But Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Some people, when they retire, they think this is the end of my life. I'm not kidding you. Some people think that when they retire, they don't even know what to do with their lives anymore. It's like, why am I even here? Listen, you have a ministry.
Amen.
God wants to use you to reach other people. Yep, He wants to use you right where you're at. Right where you're at. That doesn't mean you have to go to Bible school or seminary. You know, God will use you right where you're at to reach other people, to help them. There's people that are counting on you. Amen? Hallelujah. But notice in Numbers 13, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send men that they may search the land of Canaan," notice this, "which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those were the heads of the children of Israel." Now, I want you to notice right here in this, we're going to rapidly go through this because we're out of time here today. But, you know, they had come through the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness. Now, the Lord is getting ready to bring Israel into the promised land. Every one of you have a promised land.
Amen.
And the Lord told Moses, who was the pastor there over Israel, He says, send 12 spies up. Now, how many tribes were there? There's 12 tribes in Israel, right? And out of those 12 tribes, there was 12 heads of those tribes, 12 leaders. So the Lord instructed Moses, He said, send up the 12 leaders from each one, from one of the tribes, to go up into the to look and spy out and to observe where they are going. They're getting ready to break some barriers. Are you with me now? They only dreamed about this. They'd read about it in magazines, you know what I mean? So, I'd like to have that. Nah, we can't afford that. You know what I'm saying? But God says, in verse 2, which I give. God didn't say, I'm going to give. What did the Lord say? He says, which I give. I've already given it to you. Now, wait a minute. They're still back up in the wilderness here. God says, I've already given this to you. So what happened is the Lord sent, or Moses sent up 12 leaders from the 12 tribes for 40 days to spy out the land. Not to see if they could possess the land, but to see what they were going into. Not to see if it's possible. They went up to see, well, we can go in this way. And they brought back, after 40 days of spying out the land, they brought back fruit from the promised land. So one night they got real sneaky and they got in there and they cut down some grape clusters. And they say the grapes were sizes of softballs. It's not like, honey, pass the grapes. It's, no, pass the grape. You know what I'm saying? And they carried it between their shoulders. They brought back. They said, surely this is a land that flows with milk and honey. And here's the proof right here. Now look at what happened. In verse 25, it says, same chapter, that's Numbers 13, 25. And they returned from searching after the land for 40 days. And when they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran of Kadesh, they brought back word unto them and unto the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 28. Nevertheless, now here's where it goes downhill real quick. However, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Termites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30. So they're making all these excuses. We said there's giants in the land, inhabitants. Verse 30. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's one guy. He's one of the leaders of the 12 tribes. And the men went up that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report. Notice this, an evil report of the land that they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw are men of great stature. Verse 33. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which were come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. Say own sight. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, that's kind of interesting. I'll try to wrap this up as quick as I can here. But here you have God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, told Moses, he says, I've given you this land. This belongs to you. But when they came back after spying the land, 12 of them came back, and only two of them had a good report. Joshua and Caleb. Amen? But the 10, the majority, said, we be not able to go up. We can't do this. We're not. In other words, excuses. Everybody say, no excuses.
No excuses.
Okay? Sometimes when it comes to growing, we have to tell ourselves, look, kind of grab yourself and say, look, Brother Keith, no excuses here.
Amen.
It's easy to make excuses, isn't it? Well, it's this way because of this happening. You know, if I didn't have this happen, then that wouldn't happen. Listen, we can give all the excuses we want, okay? But we have to face it, and sit up, stand up, look at the Word, look at ourselves in the mirror, so to speak, and say, you know what? Whatever I've been through, God's going to help me get through this thing. I've had to do it many times. I had to pull myself up, almost literally, and say, no, we can do this. We can do this. We can do this. Amen? And so what happened is Israel, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones, two out of 12, that said, we can do this. Let's go up right now. We can possess the land. Now, the rest of them could have done that. Why didn't they? Because they believed what they saw instead of what God said. So if we're going to break some barriers, we have to be not moved by what we see, but by what God says. Okay? We have to say, wait a minute, I know my eyes are telling me one thing, my ears are telling me another thing, the news media is telling me this, but you know what? God says this.
Amen.
And just get radical about it. Just say, no, I'm doing this. And you know the story, what happened? Look at chapter 14. Well, let's go there in a second here. But you remember the story that God told them that the only two people that were going to go into the promised land were Joshua and Caleb. And the rest of them perished in the wilderness. Stop and think about that. They perished. It was think about 40 years they wandered around the wilderness. 40 years. Now, here's what's interesting. From the crossing of the Red Sea to the promised land is only an 11-day journey by foot. 11 days. So why did it take 40 years and they still perish? Because they were in unbelief. Hebrews talks about, you know, that the word that was preached unto them did not profit them because they, when they heard the word, they didn't mix faith with what they heard. And Paul in Hebrews was referring to this incident right here. When they heard the word preached, what word? Moses said, promised land, it's our land, flows of milk and honey, we're going to go into it, you know. They didn't believe it. Their unbelief stopped them from entering into the promised land. Let's go to Numbers chapter 14 and we'll conclude here. Numbers 14, verse 1 says, now this is when Joshua and Caleb said, hey, we can do this. We can go up. Praise God. Now it says in 14, verse 1, says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried and the people wept all that night. Everybody say pity party. Never have a pity party. It's not necessary. If God told you to do something, you can do it. If God says you can have something, you can have it. Not but. Sometimes we've got to get our butts out of the way. You know what I'm saying? I know God said, but. No, stop. Say, God said, okay, we can do this. But notice what happened here. All the congregation lifted up their voice, cried, and the people wept that night. And all the, verse 2, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and against the whole congregation. They said unto him, would to God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would to God that we have died in this wilderness. Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now notice how their imagination is now. They're actually believing their imagination. Their minds are telling them something that's not true. It's called self-deception. They said, oh, it would be better for us if we just died in Egypt. Verse 4 said, and they said one to another, let us make us a captain, return to Egypt. So Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they tore their clothes and they spake to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. In verse 8, now this can be a little confusing. It says, if the Lord delight in us. It's actually a better rendition of this said, because the Lord delights in us, not if. But because the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, the land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, nor fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, isn't that something right there? All right? You know what's kind of interesting about this is when Joshua and Caleb did this, they got so mad at them that they wanted to stone them. Now, have you ever had somebody that mad at you that was looking for a rocks? Now, there's no shortage of rocks in Israel. I mean, if you've ever been to Israel, I mean, you don't have to go very far to find a rock. You just look down. It's the stoniest place on the earth, probably. So they're always looking for reasons to stone someone. I'm not talking about getting drunk. I'm talking about, you know... Huh? What did they do? They didn't do anything wrong. They had a good report. Now listen, sometimes you'll feel like you're the only person. When you have a good report and you say what God says, sometimes, like they use the saying, sometimes it's lonely at the top. But let me tell you something. When you're at the top of the mountain, you can see things that other people can't see. And I'd rather be up there than down in the lowlands where there's fog and you can't see anything beyond the present circumstances. I'd rather be up on the mountaintop looking down and seeing miles and miles away. And sometimes when you become a leader like Joshua and Caleb, they stood up and they just said what God says. They got persecution from all Israel, from the other 10. But who was wrong and who was right? The minority was right. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. And people will say, oh, you're just one of those positive confessioners and speakers. You know, no, listen, they were just saying what God said. Amen. Amen? Why can't there be some millionaires in this congregation?
Amen.
I can almost hear rusty gears going. Wait a minute here. Listen. There are people on this earth today that were not raised with a silver spoon in their mouth, as they say. And they're rich.
Amen.
And they're wealthy. And it wasn't inherited. There's a lot of people. It was first generation thing. You know what I'm saying? With God. Now that's where sometimes, and we'll talk about this next week. We're going to talk about small thinking. And we have to get out of this small mindset. We have to get out of our small thinking and start thinking bigger about the things and the dreams and the possibilities that you have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When my son came to me a few years ago, you know, he said, Dad, I have a dream right now about starting my own business. Now, I had never started, well, I've started a church, but, you know, an actual business. Well, I said, well, son, if that's in your heart, I'll back it up. If that's what God's put in your heart. Now, one of the worst things you can do as a pastor is to try to call your kids into the ministry. God has to do that. My thing is, whatever God has placed. I've told Kelly, I've told Joshua that from day one. I said, whatever God has put inside your heart, I will back that. Okay? Because there's not an anointing to do something you're not called to do. But what God tells you to do, and there's the desire. He had a desire to start a lawn care business, you know? So I said, well, praise God, let's do it. Let's go for it, amen? Well, you know, it came together. Hallelujah. Supernaturally. It came together. Here come the funds. Here comes the equipment. Everything that he needed to have a debt-free business right now.
Amen.
And has all the equipment.
Praise.
No debt whatsoever attached to it. Amen? It can be done. Whatever God puts inside your heart, don't make any excuses for why you can't do it. All right? Don't make any more excuses why I can't be healed. No, you can be healed. Jesus provided for you. Amen. Sometimes, you know, people through the years I've seen where people, that reason they don't want to get healed is because they get more sympathy from other people. It's sad, but it does happen. Some people get more attention when they're sick. It's like, oh, you know, people come over and say, what's wrong, honey? Are you okay? Oh, you want a bowl of soup? No, sit down. I'll make you a bowl of soup now. And inside they're going, I like this. I like this treatment, you know. Linda had her grandfather who's in heaven. He was faking it one day. Till he found out someone saw him. When somebody saw him, it's like, oh. You know, I mean, he was like doing gymnastics in the house before that, you know what I mean? He didn't know they saw him, though. You know, and some people, the reason they don't want healed is because they get attention. And it ought not be that way. Okay? Listen, if you need comfort, let the Holy Ghost bring comfort to you. Are you with me now? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Do you know today somebody has a birthday here today?
Yes.
Sister Patty right here. Let's give her a hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. We love Sister Patty, I'll tell you. Praise God. Happy birthday.
It's her anniversary.
That's right. It's her anniversary today. Number what?
62.
Praise God. There's a barrier breaker right there, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll close here. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much that you've called us. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do not let go of the dream that God's put inside your heart. Though you may have been discouraged in circumstances or people seem to put limitations on you, don't look to that anymore. Look to the Lord. For His dream towards you is so much greater, so much bigger than you can even imagine or think. But today is the day, let go of all disappointments, things that have brought disappointment, discouragement to you from here backwards, and just lay that aside. All right? This is what I'm sensing in my heart. Just lay that aside right now, that all that discouragement, disappointment. And know that God's going to bring you into a good land. He's going to bring you into a good place. Even if the journey's been rough up to this point, I'm telling you, if you saw the future and the things that God has for you, you would start rejoicing even right now. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now the Lord's restoring that to you right now. So just go ahead and receive that from Him. Thank you, Lord. The Bible tells us that He heals the brokenhearted. Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Broken dreams, shattered dreams do not have to stay shattered. Your body doesn't have to stay sick. Your emotions do not have to stay hurt. Your finances do not have to stay broke. No. There's light and there's provision for all of you that are here in this place right now. Thank you, Lord. So receive from Him right now. Receive. Lord, I thank You for Your healing touch right now over everyone in this room right now. Thank You, Lord. You're healing the past, Lord. Any hurt, scars, damage from any past of anybody in this room, You're healing it right now, Father. Praise You and worship You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Now let's just begin to worship God. Let's stand up. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.